Did your work take a different turn once the number 9 mine closed down? Once Lansco stopped being in operation?
You mean the way...
In terms of the kind of work you did or the kind of projects you came up with?
Yeah, well, these projects is, you know, yeah, when that's after... well, Lansco was still operating. They operated till 72, but I would do things, in, you know, while I was taking the mine pictures, I was probably working on auction pictures or something like that. I was very fortunate I was able to do this, too, because, you know, Gene kind of understood, you know, what I was up to. And to say, well, we want to go shopping this weekend. She, and I would say, well, I want to go take pictures. And I could go take pictures, you say. And I was fortunate that I was able to do that. And that was another thing that worked in my favor.
She was obviously supportive.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, you do what you want to. I mean, you have to do it, you have to do it. And I did have to do it. It was a very important part. Photography was an important part of my life. I mean, it's hard to say that, you know, you think what is so important about taking pictures, but there is a certain feeling that you do get that you have to do it. And I think because I felt I had to do it, I was able to do the mine photographs. Probably if I didn't have that feeling, I guess it's just like maybe somebody else is born, some, you know, you're born a writer or you're born, maybe you were born to take pictures, I don't know.
I mean, as a historian, I can appreciate that because
I think so, too.
Good historians are driven.
You're driven.
We
you're
you know, I want to understand the history. I want to get the story right and share it with other people. And you want to, get the story while you can. The oral history has that
sure.
That aspect to it, and. So you have to, it cuts you off at various times?
And you feel if you weren't doing it, that you were kind of neglectful, that you should be doing it. That you're, hey, maybe I'm being lazy about this and I should be doing this.
You also sometimes have the feeling that if you don't do it, it won't be done?
Well, yeah, well.
There's certainly that aspect
well,
of it, too.
Well,
you bring a certain perspective to it,
well,
or talents.
There's a certain way you see pictures that no one else can see pictures. Or if you write you write a story or something, like you could only write it, no one else can. I don't like to be, you know, boastful or something. I know there's a lot of pictures that I see that people don't see because, first of all, you train yourself, and it's just the way you feel about things. I mean, pictures down in Gettysburg, that mannequin, I mean, who would have thought about following a mannequin around for a whole year, you know, or something like that, in all kind of weather and all that, and going up in the snow and stooping in the snow, photographing a mannequin laying in the snow, you know, with a reed across the face or something like that, you know. So, if I would have done it, they wouldn't exist. They exist now, but it's not an earth-shaking thing, but it's something that I did, you know, and that's about the whole size of it. Nothing's really that important to each individual, I don't think so.
But, you know, then you can see it as part of your own development, and part of,
but then you wonder how much do you develop, and I look at the Japanese pictures, and I figure, you know, they're just as good as the ones I took now, almost, you know. So, you figure that they were done, you know, in the 40s, you know, and you figure, well, how much have you really progressed, or is just the same person just doing another project, you know?
Well, it's,
technically, you've learned a lot, you know.
You couldn't do the kind of restoring of the mind pictures then that you can do now.
No. Actually,
that's something
technically,
you picked up.
You learned a lot, yeah, with different, well, films and cameras and lenses and everything have gotten so much better now, and it's a lot easier to a certain extent, but a lot of it is too easy now, automation and things like that. I mean, you take a camera out and come back and every negative is perfect, you know. Years are back, every negative wasn't perfect, and sometimes the ones that weren't perfect made the best prints because they were thin, maybe, and they just brought in certain highlights or something like that, and they were different. I think with the new cameras and with the automatic exposures, if you don't vary it and change it yourself, you know, you're going to come up with sameness all the time.
So there's something that in modern photography that works against the kind of range of skills.
Yeah. And then I went into all these projects of making my own cameras, you know, and I made 8x10 cameras. I would get pieces of cameras, and if I found out that there was a certain camera I couldn't buy on the market that was a really wide-angle lens or something, I would make a box and put a lens on it, you know, and I made an awful lot of cameras, you know. There's one there, and I got into pinhole photography too, which is a very unique type of photography. You're taking pictures with no lenses, just a pinhole, with a piece of paper for instead of film, using paper as a negative. And it's a very mysterious type of photography. You never know what you're going to get, you know. And the only time you really know what you're getting is when you run this film through the tray of developer, and my goodness, you look, it doesn't look anything, because when you turn the film, you know, you get a panoramic effect and all that, and you're distorting everything, you know, and ordinary things become majestic, you know. And
so when you say you do it on paper, you do it on photographic paper.
Yeah. Instead of putting, well,
rather than putting it on a negative and then transferring
it. Some of the cameras I made, the pinhole cameras, the film is like maybe 10 by 14 or something like that. Well, you can't get 10. You could get 10 by 14 film, but you'd go broke. So instead of putting film back there, you put an ordinary piece of paper back there, and then you get a negative print. But from that negative print, you could contact it and make a positive print, you see. Actually, you could shoot light through the paper onto and get a print from. The early photography, Talbot, when he started photography, all his negatives were on paper, and then on sol paper, you know, and then prints were made eventually from those negatives.
You need an apprentice.
Do I?
You need a 25-year-old would-be photographer that you can pass this all on to.
It's
wonderful for me to hear it, and I did a little photography over the years, and I taught it at a time when I didn't really know it.
I mean, there's about three or four cameras in the case there that I made. That's an 8x10 camera. That's, you see how close that lens is to that film? Well, that's how it stays, and then I get a round image on an 8x10. The early, when Eastman, George Eastman came out with his first camera, he loaded it and you sent it away. When the print came back, they were all round. Because lenses don't give you oblong pictures or square pictures. They give you, the lens is round and they give you a round picture. And when you got your picture back from Kodak, they were all round. And one day I got to thinking, I said, well, why can't I do that now? I'll get an 8x10 piece of film, get a wide-angle lens, and I'll get a round picture. And I just did a series last summer on Eckley with that 8x10 camera, and all I do is get round images.
So you end up printing it as a round image, and the rest stays white?
Black. It'll go black because your negative, it's transparent, and when you print it, you know, the light will go through the transparent area, and it'll go black, you know.
But it'll be a black, a circular frame kind of around the picture.
Yeah. That's another thing. That takes you way back to 1888 or something like that when Eastman came out with this camera.